according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
At the end of this liturgical year, at the end of this week, pondering Christ as the King and how he summons us to his kingdom, sends us out in order to call others to join us in that kingdom, we have got a great personifier of this whole summons to the kingdom in St. Andrew, who is called the Protokletos, still is by the Greeks, first one called. And we see how ready he was for that call. He's one of the disciples of St. John the Baptist. As soon as John the Baptist indicated the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, he and another, whom we very much presumed to be John the Evangelist, as terrible private investigators, began to tail Jesus, and he saw that they were following him, turned around, asked that question, "What do you seek?" They embarrassingly said, "What's your address? Where are you staying?" Jesus invited them to come and see. They spent the next 26 hours together because it was the Sabbath, and that began this relationship with the one who was calling and the first one called. We see in today's gospel that continuous readiness, that after that initial encounter, when Andrew had gone back to his life, when the Lord walked by on the seashore of Galilee and called him from his boat, he left everything and followed the Lord. We see what happened at that calling. The Lord was describing that if Andrew followed, he would make him fish for something more valuable than what swam in the Sea of Galilee. "I will make you fishers of men." And Andrew was similarly apt and eager for that aspect of his calling. We see that immediately after that first 26-hour Sabbath with the Lord, that he ran to his brother Simon. We don't quite know where Simon was. Was Simon back in Capernaum? Was Simon somehow with him around John the Baptist? We don't know. But with a simple annunciation, we have found the Messiah and brought Simon to Jesus. And we know what happened there. Would have blown Andrew away. He just wanted to share news that the long-awaited one had arrived. Jesus had other plans. "You are called Simon. From now on, you will be called Kepha. You will be called Rock." That wasn't the end of Andrew's fishing. When Jesus looked out at the infamous crowd and said, "Where will we be able to find enough food for this entire multitude?" We see what Andrew did. He brought the boy with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish to Jesus. That's where it all started. Similarly with Simon, he had no idea that the Lord would build his church on him. So with this boy, he had no clue of exactly what the Lord would do. But the Lord took those 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed that crowd of 5,000 men, 5,000 women, and probably 15,000 to 20,000 kids. Another time, when Greeks were saying, "We wish to see Jesus." Philip, who had the Greek name, and they probably went to him first, didn't take them directly to Jesus. He took them to Andrew, and Andrew brought them to Jesus. And that's when Jesus inaugurated the end of his earthly life. "Now is the Son of Man to be glorified," he exclaimed. And that was the trigger for his passion, death, and resurrection. All Andrew continued to do was to fish and bring those fish to the Lord, and the Lord himself did what we know he did. In a similar way for us, he calls us and he wants us to be as prompt in responding, and then recognizing that our vocation too has a mission, and to continuously by our prayers and by our actions bring people to Jesus. We see what happens in other parts of the gospel, which is quite common still today, where there are people who are walls and people who are bridges. When the little children were trying to climb around Jesus, there were the apostles who tried to prevent them. They wanted to protect Jesus. When the Syrophoenician woman was saying, "Help my daughter," they wanted her dismissed. But Jesus wanted people brought to him, and he wants us to be those bridges. We lose nothing, actually, when we do so. We should have no jealousy that Jesus would start to spend all his time with someone other than us. No, because that's when the Lord advances his kingdom. And we never know what the Lord will do with someone, even someone unlikely, that we bring to him. Today in Myanmar, Pope Francis, in a mass with the young people of the country, pondered the first reading as a synthesis of these two points, of our summons to follow Jesus and of our mission to help others, to bring others to Jesus so that they might follow him with us. And he did it on the basis of the four unlesses, which aren't translated, all four, in English, but they're there in the Greek. How can they call on him unless they have believed? How can they believe in him unless they've heard? How can they hear unless someone preaches? How can they preach unless they are sent? And he asked the young people, and he asked all of us throughout the church, to ponder this mystery. First, the Lord wants to help us surpass that first hurdle of the unless. He gives us this gift of faith. We can't call on the Lord unless we've believed, and the Lord gives us that gift. He's liberal with it. How can we believe unless we've heard? He gives us the extraordinary treasure of his living voice in sacred scripture, and his living voice with various accents in multiple languages across the world. That there is this need for Jesus' voice to echo in our own larynxes. How can they hear unless someone preach, unless someone share that word? Our ears have been made precisely to hear the word of God. And how can people preach unless they are sent? And the Lord commissions us all. Pope Francis reminded the young people of Myanmar that at the end of every Mass, that's exactly what happens. The Lord calls them to himself as he preaches and as he feeds, and then sends them forth to announce the gospel of the Lord. St. Andrew's calling to follow the Lord and his mission to announce him continued all the way throughout his life. When I look at the martyrdoms of the apostles, I am always thinking of Peter's that I had the ability to preach about all the time as a Scafi guide in Rome, and Andrew's. Andrew's relics were in Rome all the way to 1964, and there are so many monuments to those relics, including in St. Peter's. And if you see that extraordinary statue of St. Andrew in St. Peter's Basilica, you see behind him his decussed cross, which was an extraordinary pulpit. He was called to follow the Lord even to crucifixion, but they were going to crucify Andrew in an even worse way, on a decussed cross. When you were crucified on a perpendicular cross, as Jesus was, for example, even though it would be extraordinarily painful to do it with a nail through the nerves of your feet, you could at least lift yourself up to assist in breathing so that you could exhale, so that you could, for example, say something. On a decussed cross, you immobilize the legs. There's no real way to open things up. The only way to keep your lungs open, the doctors tell us, is by constantly keeping them open through speaking. And in Achaia, as the earliest testimonies say, for the last 38 hours of his life, Andrew just continued to announce the gospel. Just as he was so eager to follow the Lord as soon as he was pointed out or as soon as he called, so he was eager to the very end to announce him with his words and also with his martyrdom, that Christ was worth living for and worth dying for. And Andrew prepared for that witness every day as he became one with the sacrifice of the same Lord who had invited him to come and see. He was present at that first Mass when Jesus took bread and wine and converted it into himself, and then gave them not only the command, but the sacramental power to do this in his memory. And that's what St. Andrew was doing in the early church, until more and more he became a life in communion with the one who constantly called and constantly sent, until he lived fully in the Lord's kingdom and continued to bring so many others to enter into that joy. Today, as we come forward on his feast day, we ask him in a particular way to respond to the grace of the four unlesses, that the Lord, who calls us to proclaim him to the nations, will allow us to hear that word and give us the faith to hear it consequentially, so that just as St. Andrew presented his brother, the young boy, with the raw materials for something that pointed to the Eucharist, and the Greeks who brought about the passion, death, and resurrection of the Lord, so he might have the chance and the joy to present us to that same Lamb of God in the Father's glory. Praise be Jesus Christ.